Welcome back to the Right Read Podcast. I'm Isaiah. You can find me on Twitter at user G Supremacy. I'll get off to my co-host down here.
I'm the host with the most. I don't even know why I said that.
Fake Will.
DeAndre. Fake Will is what we found out. You can find me on Twitter at Will Ums, WILLUMZ, passing over to my left.
I'm Usad. You can find me on Twitter at UsadNBA.
Why do you sound so depressed to say that?
Bro, just because host with the most is prime.
Not word. You set the bar way too high for no reason, bro.
I say I'm real Will, so like, yeah, real Will. You find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at Bias Houston.
Let us know in the comment section down below which one of us has to change our legal government name, because we can't have two Wills. Yeah. My last name's Williams. My name is Will.
So, but fair.
It has to. But aside from which one of us is gonna have to change our legal government name, we are continuing the series of previewing both conferences. Today, we are going to be continuing from our last episode. We're doing part two, the bottom eight seeds of the Western Conference. Before we get into that, some news did happen with the team we ended off with in the part one,
the Golden State Warriors.
I said that Jonathan Kuminga was most likely not going to get signed and that he was going to get moved. And I want to say 2 days afterwards, they gave him a two-year, $48.5 million contract. Both sides are expected to explore trades sometime.
I was going to say, so do you want to explain that one? Because it's kind of the way that it's structured.
Yeah,
kinda,
so it is
team option.
It's a 2 year, $48.5 million contract with a team option on the second year. So it effectively is a 1 year tradable contract. The idea being either he plays well and both sides can reach a contract extension for next summer, or if they don't, when he becomes trade eligible, I believe for him it would be January 15th. Mm-hmm. I want to say is when he becomes trade eligible. They find a suitor for him, and then that team option would then get declined by the next team, and then they renegotiate a contract. So Jonathan Kuminga is essentially going to be playing the season and kind of tampering with other teams, because his agent is going to be making phone calls throughout the season saying, hey, next season when you guys have cap space, how much would you be willing to give Jonathan Kuminga? His agent, Aaron something. He was posting the funniest videos the last couple of days. Their own personal mini camp. But his agent will then most likely go back to the Warriors and say, this is the feedback we've gotten, this is what we've heard. See if you can make trade with these guys. And
I will say, so far, they've been pretty open about being in option two. Like, in the Shams tweet, everything that's been reported around this is like, hey, this is a temporary balloon payment, so he doesn't sign the qualifying offer. And they're going to trade him in January. Like, as of right now, I think that is completely what they're operating under. We have yet to see if it really is maybe like a prove it deal. Like, I think he would have to at this point play like so well that they're like, yeah, you know,
like,
what, you're so good that like we're not going to trade you. But as of right now, both sides have basically agreed to be traded, and I think that's why the balloon payment is so important, as opposed to like another team we're going to talk about next episode with the Quentin Grimes qualifying offer. Yeah. When you do a sign and trade, you have to salary match, right?
Yeah,
and
if you're the
Warriors this season with Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Al Horford, starting lineup, the average age is 36 years old. You don't want a qualifying offer level player back. You want someone making real salary who can provide
or multiple players.
So that's why, like, at first I was confused. I was like, why would the Warriors do that? Like, you could just wait them out, force them to sign the qualifying.
That's another thing with the qualifying, though. The qualifying essentially comes with a baked in
no trade clause. Yeah, and that's why the second year is a team option, but not a player option.
But that's the part that doesn't make sense to me, is if, because all right, we're Rockets fans, right? We kind of did something not necessarily the same, but last year we did the Jalen Green thing, right? Yeah. Where we gave Jalen that 3 year deal, but that last year is a player option, and the point behind that was to give him the control. If you want to opt out and get more money, you can do that. Or you can opt in and keep your guaranteed money. My confusion with this Kuminga deal is, it's the phrasing on it is that it's supposed to benefit Kuminga, but it's a team option.
Because it's for trade.
The
team option's to make him a better trade asset.
I think it's not.
Okay, but if I'm Kuminga,
I think it's dumb.
Yeah, I'll say, because we saw, I don't know if this was ever reported, but I remember I saw like a list of like different contracts that they were offering Kuminga.
Yeah.
And like one of them was like a 3 year deal. And my thing is like, if this is what I had at the table, why would I not just take the 3 years?
I'm telling you, you have to view everything with the frame of Jonathan Kuminga no longer wants to be a
They have a handshake.
Get paid.
They have a handshake deal that team option will get declined. Mm-hmm. The reason.
Okay, give him a player option. Why is there a handshake deal?
The thing that's on Kuminga's agent.
Yeah, like that doesn't make sense to me.
Like if we have a handshake deal, give me the player option.
Give him the player option.
Fine anyway. The messed up thing to me is because the team option, legally speaking,
they can decline it.
No, not just decline it. Let's say Jonathan Kuminga goes out this year and
he's
30
accepted.
They just accept the team option and be like, and now you're hey, you're not
I'm at that point, he's on a 1 year deal though.
He is on a 1 year deal, but like for 1 year, I get you on $24.5 million. I can go make deal.
Yeah, but you're not letting the guy walk though. You're probably still end up trading.
For what is phrased as like this benefits Kuminga, I don't really think it does.
I think it indefinitely does, but he could have just got a player option.
Absolutely, you have to view the benefit. It benefits him leaving.
Yeah, it benefits when that's the point. It benefits him when a trade happens.
Yep. Yeah, because the trade's probably gonna happen.
Yeah,
yeah, but the team. I correct me if I'm wrong, but let's say he had a player option, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets traded to another team. He could decline that player option. They still have his bird rights, correct?
No, they do not.
Okay,
I believe bird rights are a tricky one. I believe the moment you get traded, because bird rights have more so to deal with. I believe. Someone correct me.
I thought we have KD's bird rights, no?
No.
No. We don't have his bird rights. We don't have his bird rights. Bird rights are more so.
You have to play at least 3 years with the team.
Yeah, it's draft. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. With the team.
Mm-hmm.
We can just offer. Kevin Durant is eligible for a certain amount of money. Gotcha. So we can just offer him that money. That's why we're going to. We'll talk about that at a different time. But I think the main thing for like this type of contract, and we'll get into it, but just with restricted free agency in general. Man, restricted free agency is kind of dead.
Yeah,
it is.
Like, it's just kind of dead. Like, this is the like best case scenario for going into RFA, but...
Man, it's
gonna
I don't think it's best case. I'll bring this up next episode, but there are some people hitting restricted.
You might have multiple players to talk about next episode.
Yeah.
Depending on how these the deadlines go with these contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly. So,
All right, we can get into...
Spinning back to the 8th seed.
Yeah.
Golden State Warriors finished 7th last year. The 8th seed... was a team that I think went through a lot this offseason. Had a major, major shakeup at the top, trading Desmond Bane. Obviously, we were talking about the Memphis Grizzlies. Last season finished 48-34. It is insane that the 8th seed in the conference
was 48
games last year.
Jesus Christ.
They went 48-34. Drafted Cedric Howard, 11th overall. He was a really late draft riser. Didn't play last season mostly in college, so he's kind of coming in without a lot of game reps underneath his belt. At least in the last year, re-signed Salty Aldama, signed Jaren Jackson Jr. to a nice extension. Cam Spencer brought in Ty Jerome, traded for or got KCP back in a trade, and Kangaroo Deuce on the roster, man. Big Doc Tavius, Doc Landell. Some notable departures I think are really going to hit him though. Outside of Desmond Bane, you losing Jay Huff, I think will rear its head more than they like.
Do you
to
remember him? When Jay Huff was in Rocket Summer
League?
And looked so good. And we were like, man, who is this guy?
I think he played like 2 games. And then he got signed.
He got signed somewhere else. And we were like, man, we should have kept him on the roster. Because I don't think it's an exaggeration to say he's one of the better backups.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, he's
I mean, he's probably really going to start on the Pacers.
Oh, he's going to,
He's going to start on the
Pacers. I don't even think he's going to be eligible to be one of the better backup bigs because he's just going to be a starter.
Be a starting big. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, does anyone think this team got better this summer?
No.
I don't think the arguably
tricky
their best
thing
get better.
We didn't talk about is they're really injured right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to start the season, I think, down 3 starters.
JJJ's out for 3 or 4 weeks. Zach Edey's out for 6 to 8 weeks. Mind you, okay, so I will say these week projections are from, like, the start of training camp. So JJJ's expected to miss, like, a week or two of the season. Zach Edey's expected to miss around the first month.
Yeah.
I think there was another one.
There's certainly somebody else.
Yeah, there was someone else. But
it's not Jalen Wells, is it? I don't believe it's Jalen Wells.
I don't think it's Jalen Wells. But either way, the point is the Memphis Grizzlies are
coming in
shorthanded.
Oh, it's Brandon Clark.
Brandon Clark. But they're entering the season shorthanded. They're entering the season having traded away who I think was their best player last year, Desmond Bane. I don't know if that's a controversy.
No, he was their best.
Yeah, I think.
But then the combines of last season.
Yeah, John Morant's been pretty up and down. Yep. With on court, off court stuff, just staying healthy. Like, it's just he's going through a lot of stuff.
Of course.
The off court, he's missed games for it. So like, if you're missing games, like, I'm going to mention it, right?
That's and very true.
I just think this team just kind of needs a reset. Like, they're coming under new management with a new head coach.
Yeah.
They have their draft picks.
They do.
And they now have a surplus of draft picks with the Orlando trade. They got 5 first back. They got that really, really good Phoenix swap in 2026. I just think this team should not, in my opinion, they shouldn't be trying to be a play-in playoff team. I think just be what you are explore these young guys a little bit, see what Zach Edey can really do, see what the guy you just drafted, Cedric Coward, can really do. Yeah. And just kind of like take a reset. Yeah, it's like it's not a rebuild because you still have John Morant, you still have Jaren Jackson Jr., who they gave a contract extension to. It's just like a soft little like chill out for a little bit.
I guess and this might be a hot take, but my issue with what they did in terms of trading Bane is I feel like that's the incorrect order of operations on who should have been gone. Like, I think the first person they traded either should have been Ja or JJJ. And I think, because I think Bane can play pretty much with any, like, type of player.
He's super scalable.
Yeah. And I mean, we already talked about how, you know, he's probably the best player on the team last season. And so, for me, if you're going to do a retool, I don't think I'd trade the guy who's, like, the best and honestly the most scalable player on my team in terms of who he can play with.
But I guess that's kind of the thing of, like, so you have Jaren Jackson Jr., you have John Morant, you have Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane is the best asset out of those three, I think, because of the stuff we talked about with John.
You think he's a better asset than JJJ?
I think they want to keep JJJ.
At the time he was, because there was no pressure of a re-sign.
Yeah.
Like, I think the team that would have traded.
You think JJJ is a current better asset than John?
Yes.
I'm not
given his injury history, I think so.
I think he is.
In all honesty, he's not 6'2". I don't know.
Yeah, and Ja's had like multiple injuries.
I don't know.
I'm gonna be honest though. At this point, I mean, are we? So I guess this is a question that's gonna be the question going forward. But like, Do we believe in like a Ja JJJ core? Because I don't.
Well, I've never believed in it.
Ja is not good enough to be your best player. But I was gonna say, I think my issue with JJJ is we talked about when we did our the power forward or center rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he doesn't rebound and he doesn't have a position. He's like the definition of a tweener. And I feel like at least with Ja,
there's a reason you couldn't remember if he was power forward or center.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what list we put him on. But I feel like at least with Ja, you know kind of what you're getting. I don't think he's good enough to be your best player. I think he can be your second best player. If I was a team out there that had that best player, I would prefer Ja to
I guess my question is if you're willing to trade Bane, who I think is the best player, and we can argue the best asset, why not just trade all three of them?
Yeah, that's what I think. If you're going to trade one of them, you can trade all of them. Because you can get a real all-star that rebound.
Yeah. I think part of it is they are a small market team. And they have been relatively successful the last couple of seasons. It hasn't amounted to really deep playoff runs. But
they won a lot of regular season
games.
They had that really good playoff run in 22.
Yeah.
When they almost beat the Warriors.
Yeah. They've got a great fan base. They got a great fan base in Memphis. Some crazy fans on Twitter.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Memphis fans, man.
Shout out to the Memphis fans, man. But I think there's always a bit of a struggle getting a team in that market to really fully rebuild when you do have a guy like Ja has his own shoe. Yep. You know, like they have a legitimate marketable, whether you think he's an on-court superstar, off the court, Ja Morant is a superstar. Yeah. You can plaster his face everywhere and you're going to sell something. I think it's hard to let go of those guys because those guys are a dime a dozen. You can throw him on every season ticket. You can throw him on every single poster, a billboard in the city, and guys are going to come out to see Ja Morant play. He's still a marquee guy. Yeah. He's a box office guy. So I think that's probably some of the pushback on them fully rebuilding. They also just it's fired their coach, right?
He was not the problem.
Taylor Jenkins was not the problem. But you fire your coach. That's really the order of operations the NBA goes.
Yeah, you fire coach, gets and you fired start moving first. People.
General manager wants to save his job, so you trade a player like a Desmond Bane. Then when you realize this core isn't it, owner has to look and say, which one are we doing? Trading the or getting rid of the GM?
I guess that's my thing. It's like, how many times throughout NBA history have we seen a team open the floodgates and then close it before the building is flooded? Like, if you know, if we're at the point where we're talking about trading Desmond Bane and not even just talking about it, doing it, I mean, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say it's over, bro.
I feel like I would understand maybe the soft reset if I had like a Jason Tatum, an Anthony Edwards, a Luka.
You just don't think Ja's good enough for that?
Ja's just not good enough. I think Ja, and notice that's no disrespect to Ja. I've been pretty open about how good you have to be a number one option.
Also, they just don't have a player to step into what, because that's the other thing too. If you're going to trade a guy like that, you either have to have guys who are good enough that I'm retooling and I'm good enough, or you have to have a player that steps into what they can do. And I mean, they have like really talented young players, but none of those guys are going to step into what Desmond Bane does.
I mean, you know, they could maybe get lucky, and maybe the guy they draft this year breaks out, or maybe
that is the weird thing about their pick. It's a top eight swap essentially, because the Wizards are a part of that swap.
Yeah,
let's say the Suns pick is ahead of the Wizards pick. The Wizards can swap that Suns pick, and now the Grizzlies get the Wizards pick. Best case scenario for the Grizzlies is Wizards get pick one, Suns get pick two.
I was gonna say, their best case scenario. They also have their own draft. They have their own. So I mean, you know, maybe you get lucky.
You got surplus draft assets. I do think they are good at drafting.
They are. They're a good drafting team.
I think they have a very good pedigree there, which I do.
Especially at drafting role players.
Well, when I do think when a GM's trying to save his job, he can be like, "Hey, man, look, I got all these draft picks coming up. Like, let me draft these guys, right?" And then just overall, I do think there is a hesitancy in locking in yourself to Ja Morant, even if you are another team, because I think it is fair to say he's never finished a season.
Nope.
He is yet to...
He's kind of injury prone.
His NBA career, he's yet to...
He's injury prone.
I'm thinking about it.
Buck 85? Yeah, and that's going to be...
Did he finish the 21 season?
Even when he's
healthy, played the Jazz?
And off the court.
See, that's the only time he did, actually, huh? Well, he finished that one in the bubble season.
Yeah.
But since then, you are right.
You're right.
He has not finished.
That was year two, though, huh?
Year two and year three.
Early Ja. Like, I guess since he's really broken out into this role.
Oh, no, year two and year one. Yeah.
I will say for his benefit, he hasn't had like a torn ACL or something.
It's always like ankle injuries.
Like you're going to be out for a year type of injury.
Yeah.
Knee 1 year.
But he had I forgot if that was inflammation in his knee or something, which isn't a good sign.
Regardless,
that's not that great either, bro.
You say that as a positive? For me, that's crazy.
It kind of is. It's that weird.
For example, he played, last year he played 50 games.
Yeah.
He played 9 games the year before.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an ACL. The fact that we don't really it was a bunch of like it was knee issues.
Oh, back he was out, then he got suspended, and
then he got suspended. That's what I'm saying. But like, that's more concerning. Yeah. When people say like a guy's injury prone and they look at his injury, it's like he tore his ACL 1 year, bro. Like we know people that have torn their ACL.
Yeah, everybody gonna be out.
ACL is like that can happen to anybody, right? The random nagging injuries
the ones that you don't know,
identify.
I just looked it up. He hasn't been eligible to make any All-NBA team since his first season in the NBA.
He's been under 65.
Yeah,
he's cost himself money for that.
Outside of year one where he played 67, his second highest.
Yeah, they should have traded him. I'm not going to lie. I don't know why they kept him.
When you say, why didn't they trade him? I don't think his trade value is
Is
it getting higher,
it's not. It's not. No, I think you can rehabilitate it, though. I think if he comes
I think that's
season,
what they're banking on.
I don't think they are. I think they want to.
No, I don't think you rehabilitate Ja. I think they truly do believe that he can be.
Yeah, they think he's their guy.
Put it this way. I think because of that.
That's going to cost.
No,
jobs,
I think he's at a weird point where his value is higher to Memphis than it is to the rest of the league.
That's why
they're just going to keep him.
And I mean, I get it from Memphis' perspective. Like, he was your number two overall pick. The flashes that he has shown has been one of the best guards in basketball. He has such an aesthetically pleasing game. A relatively efficient game when you look at a lot of his points for possession numbers.
Yeah.
He's a good basketball player.
He's not a number one.
He's just, again, I agree with that. We talked about the point guard list. I think he falls into that elk of a lot of other point guards in the league where, man, it's just not a point guard league anymore. This is a wings and centers league where you kind of need other guys around you. You need a true 7-footer next to a guy like a Ja. And they got one. It's just that 7-footer doesn't know he's 7-footer.
I was about to say, do they? What's y'all's range on them before we wrap up?
I'd go 7 to 12. I think they can fall anywhere between that.
I think 10 to 12.
Yeah, I don't know if they even get to 7.
I think they can fake get hot.
Honestly.
No, I'm not. I don't.
I'll say 11 to 13.
There's no chance they make the plan?
I'll stick with 10. There's a chance they can sneak in.
I
think they see postseason basketball. I think they.
I don't know, man. We're going to talk about the Spurs in a second.
We're going to talk about the Spurs.
I'll say 9-13, and then let's go ahead and get.
Yeah, I'll be honest, 9-13.
I have absolutely nothing to say about the Sacramento Kings.
I mean, yeah.
We can do the intro.
We can talk about.
I have something quick. I'll say.
Sacramento Kings last year 40-42.
Respect the Kings fans.
Yeah, like
I apologize to all the fans,
but like, come on, bro. Like, I respect the Kings fans enough to tell them like, talk about the season's gonna.
If you are a Kings fan,
like, team, bro, like,
come on,
Sacramento Kings.
Let me intro. Record mid, home and away record mid, conference record mid, notable additions mid, notable departures mid. Like,
I mean, unironically, they might be. The...
Was Jake LaRavia. One of their notable additions.
Lurvy's good.
No troll. Am I seeing this wrong? Y'all all have the dots.
No, it's just Doug McDermott.
Re-signed Doug McDermott. There's nothing to talk about with this team.
I mean,
they're just mid.
I don't think they're bad. I was gonna say they're
gonna be like fake. Where Sabonis gets you like they're just mid.
Okay.
They get you like 31.
No. Let's just skip straight to the end.
Actually, I want to say one thing real quick about the Kings.
This is the most obvious tall seed ever, bro.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I saw a thing on Bleacher Report where it was like the Kings are at a disaster. And I don't think they are at a disaster yet. I think if they do not implode, blow it up this season,
yeah,
I think you're at a disaster.
Yeah, but
you need to go Valanciunas. Domantas Sabonis, I think, has real trade value. You can get a decent amount in return from him. Right? So I'd move him immediately. I'm not sure.
I would also move Malik Monk.
I would move anybody above the age of 25. I don't know if DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine have
Keegan back. Murray too. Then
I would move Keegan Murray.
I promise you, Zach LaVine does not.
I don't think Zach LaVine and DeMar have trade value.
Nah, you just gotta sit that one out. I ain't gonna lie.
Went to the Kings. You know what the Kings don't do? Rehabilitate.
I mean, okay. The only thing that might save
you got LaVine be a taken man.
The only thing that might save LaVine is the fact that he's expiring now, as opposed to last season he wasn't. So like, you could maybe. I mean, I get a first for him, but I mean, shoot, if I could get to like 2 seconds, I'd do it. I'd trade it for 2 seconds.
By the way, the guy they're saying they trade for 2 seconds, I got so much pushback for not putting him on my top 10 shooting guard.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not on mine either.
I got so much pushback.
That's a little crazy. But bottom line is, all I was going to say is, I think that this is like, if there was a team in the NBA that says it's time to blow it up, it is the Sacramento Kings.
Light the beam.
This is the first team I think where I say you're not making the playoffs in any capacity.
Yeah,
like,
not making.
I think the range is 11 to 15.
I think
man.
Worst case scenario for them would be making.
Yeah, you don't want to, but that also goes to my point of trade everybody. Let's go ahead and bottom out.
That's the thing.
It should have been this offseason.
And I get why they made the De'Aaron Fox trade the way they made it. No, I get it. He had to go. I think they took the wrong return back.
They did.
They took LaVine back with the expectation of, and it's why I agree with you. I think they should implode. I don't think they will. I think that they think they can be fake competitive.
They do.
I feel like sometimes believe they can. Like, you know what rebuilds are bad for? Job security.
It is.
You know what guys in front offices want? Jobs.
I would say that. And then, for a team that's, I don't know if calling Sacramento a small market is the right.
No, they're a small market. Okay. They're a small market. Have you been to Sacramento?
They're a Cali team.
I've been to Sacramento.
If you blink in Sacramento, you're gone.
I was going to say is for a team that historically speaking has been bottom of the barrel, and they found some success with the De'Aaron Fox, the Domantas Sabonis team. What was that? 2 years ago when they made the playoffs? Yeah.
The light of the beam.
You go from kind of somewhat restoring the feeling in Sacramento over there and putting butts in seats to now saying, all right, screw that. We're going to rebuild. I understand why you would be like, we just got back and now we're trying to go right back to the bottom.
It was so obvious, the writing on the wall. You got hot 1 year. Mike Brown coached his tail off and now you got.
They got first rounded too.
I'm not saying you got first rounded.
So unlucky. De'Aaron Fox breaks his hand, whatever. They're cursed.
Unlucky.
We can do the range now. We can
11 to 15?
13 to 15.
I'm like 12.
I'll say 11 to 15.
They might be fake annoying, but they shouldn't be.
So far we're 2 for 2, I think, in teams dropping from where they were originally. Because we don't think Grizzlies are at 8. We don't think Kings are at
9. I think the next team is the easiest they're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I would say one of the craziest seasons a team has ever had in the history of basketball. At the deadline, you trade away arguably one of the best players in all of basketball, arguably the most valuable asset in all of basketball, and Luka Doncic. You trade him away for
Anthony
Davis.
I remember them arguments.
Second most valuable.
How many first round picks would it cost to get Luka?
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. What,
two?
You would have paid
two.
Two and AD
is what we're talking
about. Bankrupt.
But okay, Mavericks, we want to just 39-43, 10th seed.
Yeah.
They were, I love saying this because people don't believe me every time I bring it up. They were one half of basketball away
from not having Cooper Flagg.
Because people forget they won their first play-in game and they were up at halftime against the Sacramento Kings to make the playoffs. and sorry, against the Memphis Grizzlies to make the playoffs, and they would have lost a lottery pick because it was
funny enough, the Grizzlies would have got it.
The Grizzlies would have got it. That's what I'm saying. The one half
hope, you know, they would not have sent Cooper Flagg to Memphis.
Oh no, definitely not. They definitely would not.
Oh Lord.
But yeah, but one half of basketball away from Memphis Grizzlies, who a team who we were saying is like a little bit lost right now, having Cooper Flagg.
Oh no, they wouldn't have sent him no. One Adam Silver, I like my life.
Oh, he rigged it.
I like my life, dude. I really, really do. I understand that pick was promised to the Dallas Mavericks as soon as
how many years ago.
I was gonna mess up.
No.
Nah, you alley hooped it, bro. Like you did that on purpose.
Anyway,
bro.
Mavericks drafted Cooper Flagg. They re-signed Dante Exum, Kyrie Irving, PJ Washington. Kyrie Irving, earliest he'll play is like January
at the
earliest. I will say though,
I see him on court. He's
progressing well.
It's kind of good, but
fake hooping. So
fake hooping, yeah. They got D'Angelo Russell to kind of shore up that position.
Fake good signing for them.
Dennis
yes.
Jr.
Yeah, it is.
Did not know he was still in the league.
I hate that
until I saw
back.
This doc.
He came back like a couple
years. I also did not know Spencer T when he went to the Hornets.
Oh, you didn't, oh yeah. That was the funniest tweet ever. It's like, man, I forgot. Like some of this stuff that happens at media day, man.
Yeah. But yeah, Dimery's on the Hornets now. And I just feel like if the question for this team and the question for this player's entire career has always been, is AD healthy?
Oh, yeah.
And I will say, early returns from his media day when he walked in with one eye like Fetty Wap, and it said
Fetty
like he has to have like goggles for the rest of his career. Not exactly like encouraging to say that this guy's gonna have like a
not at all.
Less aura, more health. I guess. Well, the goggles might be more aura. Who knows? We don't know yet.
You gotta see how they look.
It's just like I think this team is gonna be as good as AD is in terms of being on the court. Cooper Flagg, for as much as I like the guy, he is gonna be a rookie, and he is gonna hit the wall at some point. He's gonna have at least 1.5 months of terrible basketball. As every rookie does.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie's not there. It's just, I mean, Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I think the team is going to be like annoyingly good until Kyrie gets back. And I think once Kyrie gets back, it's going to be very clear this is a playoff team.
Yeah, I think they'll be around that 10 seed area and then they'll make a push for like.
Yeah, I think they're going to scare one of the teams that's like, well, multiple teams actually, because it's probably going to be a cluster from like six to like nine.
They're a tough
matchup. I was going to say, I saw a post earlier today from Mavs Nation on Twitter, but he put like the graphic of like their 10-man rotation.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Pretty deep. I didn't realize.
Can I ask, is Brandon Williams in that rotation?
No.
And I'm going to be so real. That's why I hate the Dennis Smith Jr. signing. One of to me, like I love when teams stink, and I know it sounds so backwards, but you get to see towards the end of the season, those guys get those 10-day contracts, exhibit 10.
Yeah.
Like Brandon Williams was one of those guys that took his 2-way contract and looked amazing.
He was cooking us.
I'm going to say, I remember that game where he played it. Shout out to CIF legend Brandon Williams, man. Like that's a guy I look at and I'm like, he's an NBA rotation player. And that's like, when Kyrie comes back, they're third string point guard.
Yeah.
They have a ton of depth on that team, a ton of length, a ton of size. Apparently Derek Lively's 7'3" now. I don't know if we're going to believe that or not.
I was gonna say
they do have a ton of depth on that team.
The question with the Mavs is just, can they stay healthy?
Yep.
Right? Because I'm gonna run through this lineup real quick. They got Kyrie at the 1, Klay at the 2, Coop at the 3, AD at the 4, Lively at the 5.
That's a nice 5.
I was gonna say that, but of those 5 I just named, the healthiest of them historically is Cooper Flagg. Those other guys have been in. I wasn't aware of how little basketball Derek Lively has played until I was drafted.
Yeah, he hasn't played.
Didn't realize he did not play as much. Right? Then off the bench you got D'Lo. Max Christie, who had a really good second half of the season.
He
was really good
man.
For them. Najee Marshall was pretty good for them. P.J. Washington has been good for them. And Daniel Gafford has they have a real, like,
Davis, like,
10 to 11 guys that could
they have
like,
three centers.
I think people sleep on the D'Angelo Russell signing. I think he sucks if he's starting point guard. If he's your backup point guard, and he has chemistry with some of these guys.
I want to say, he'll have really, really good chemistry with AD. They played together for a while. AD he used to seem like he really liked playing with D'Angelo.
AD and D'Lo are really close.
Yeah, like they
if you look
like
if you look at their
really
net
rating, PNR pod
when they were on the court together, they're never.
Yeah, D'Lo's pretty big friendly. I will say that's the thing. Like,
and they have those.
You don't want D'Lo, I guess, more so for a playoff scenario. I don't know if you want him as your starting guy, but if we're just talking about winning regular season games, especially like until Kyrie gets back. He's more than adequate.
He can do that job.
Yeah. Okay, so. Ranges.
4-9.
I was gonna say 4-7. I think it's a playoff team. Like, If Kyrie,
I guess it depends on what their record is looking like before Kyrie.
4-7 with the caveat that you get 100% Kyrie Irving starting January.
Like that's kind of where I'm
at. I'm gonna say 5-9. I don't think they crack the top four, and I think that there is a possibility because, like, let's keep it a bean. They're gonna get hurt at some point in time, right? They're going to. I can see them being with all the injuries a play-in team. So I'll say 5-9.
I mean, if you got a bunch of injury-prone players, though, somebody got to be healthy at some point, bro.
Yeah.
That's what they do with the center rotation.
All right.
I'm gonna say 5-9 too, though.
5-9 as well.
Yeah.
From one really interesting team to another very interesting team. A team that everyone seemed was, or everyone thought the big three era was going to continue with them. Only one of that big three is left in Devin Booker. Traded away Kevin Durant this offseason for traded away Kevin Durant this offseason.
Somebody queue up the outstanding
Jaylen Green,
bro.
Dylan Brooks, and the 10th overall pick, which ended up being Kamal Malawach in a very painful day for Rockets fans. We had to remember we got Kevin Durant because seeing him put on a Rockets hat, boy oh boy, did that kind of stink.
I definitely did. That's the curse image. Yeah. Sure.
Also in that same draft, at pick 29, I believe, traded for Mark Williams to share their big rotation even more.
Yes. They got Rashear Fleming.
And early second round.
Yeah. Who was the guy who, do you remember where you had, because you're the draft guy, where did you have him?
He was about mid-first for me.
Yeah, I'll say, because I honestly,
a lot of people had him as a first.
I was going to say, he had a first round evaluation.
People were talking about if he was on the list of guys,
I would say, wasn't that? I mean, Brad did like
that. Was Brad? That was Brad.
Yeah, I'll say
Brad. Brad was like, I love Rashear.
Shout out to Brad.
He watched a dunk, he hit a three. He's like, that's the guy.
That's the guy.
Hey, man, that's real, bro.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brad.
Yeah. Good pick and Rashear
dunk.
They had a really good draft.
I think the
they clearly had a good offseason.
They did such a great job this offseason.
I try not to buy too much into media day. I was watching their media day, and the one thing I took away was Jordan Ott seems like the right type of psychopath.
Yeah.
When you listen to him talk about basketball, he seems so enamored with the details of running a system. And I think that's the type of guy that comes in and sets a culture. And I think when you add that type of coach who's, from everything I heard from that media day, every player said the exact same thing. We're going to play in pace, and we're going to play in space. I think having a team that understands that's what our offensive identity is. And then you bring in, as Rockets fans, we know,
Dylan Brooks
for the other side of the court, which, however you feel about how Dylan Brooks' defense has been the last couple of seasons, the intensity that he brings, the demand that he brings for the players around him. And I think that the Phoenix Suns have really capable athletes. I just don't think that a lot of them have been forced to care. Like, Ryan Dunn is a defender.
He's a great defender.
Yeah.
Like, Kamal Malawach is going to be in America for 2 years. And the first year he was at Duke, and the second year, Dylan Brooks is his mentor.
Yeah.
Like, they have a bunch of, I think, really rangy, athletic guys that are going to fit really, really well together. I'm not saying that this team's going to be like a top some seed or whatever.
Nah, I
think that they're going to be the definition of, like, pesky.
I shouldn't have cussed. My fault.
I think they're going to be the definition of just a pesky team. I think they're going to annoy a lot of teams on a night-to-night basis. I don't think, like, you go into Phoenix and it's like, it's not a Tuesday night in Charlotte. It's not like,
no, they're not gonna be
man,
that.
We gotta Phoenix on Thursday. Dang, that kind of stinks. We gotta see Phoenix on a back to back. Man, that kind of sucks. I think they're gonna be.
I'm not that
high on them.
You're lower on them. I'm higher than that. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I think you went all.
Hate, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Hate
bro,
on every team that's not the Rockets.
Listen.
Nah,
they won 36 games last year.
I mean, he
that was with Devin Booker in and out the lineup. They basically had no center rotation.
Yep.
Literally, they were starting.
Nick Richards.
Yeah. Who's on the Warriors now, I think?
No, he's still in the Suns.
No, he's still in the Suns.
Yeah,
he's still in the Suns.
Yeah. Not the worst thing around.
The worst third string center.
Third string center is what he's supposed
to
be. Exactly. But I just think a team with one really, really good volume scorer in Devin Booker, who I think has a real chance to lead the league in scoring next year.
Oh, man.
I don't think that's
gonna
like.
Put him up in. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, he might take like 20 plus shots a game. If Jaylen Green can have a pulse, right?
LOL.
Like 23-4-4 on like decent efficiency.
What
like,
is decent efficiency?
That's not impossible. Like 57. That's
that,
not.
I have terrible.
That first week of the season, Jaylen Green.
I have terrible.
I'm just saying. I think they have the ability to score points. This isn't like a completely offensive.
They have a Devin Booker.
Yeah, which I think is an ability to.
I don't think he can do it by himself, though.
I think Jaylen Dillon can help.
I mean, they have really good shooting on the roster.
Yeah, they have really good shooters on the roster.
They can run. Real four out one in.
Yeah.
A lot of teams
I'm not
cannot
a believer.
They can run real
four.
I'm not the highest on them. Where like I've seen some takes about the Suns in recent days. Jalen Green might be their worst shooter in most of their lineups, and he's still like a 37% guy off the catch. Like, yeah. They can put out some really, really good, yeah, on average, I want to say he's about 37 for his career. They can put out some really, really good catch-and-shoot lineups around Devin Booker. Royce O'Neal, shout out Cuzzo. Royce O'Neal can shoot the basketball.
Yeah, Grayson Allen.
A great catch-and-shoot Grayson shooter. Allen. Grayson Allen shooter. Is still on the roster. The guys they brought in, Rashear Fleming and Kobe Brea. Ryan Dunn's kind of the one you want to see. He started the season off last year looking like, Jesus Christ, why wasn't this guy a top 10 pick? Because he's shooting like this. He cooled down towards the end of the season. If he can find some level of stability off the catch, they will just be able to put out a lot of really lengthy catch and shoot lineups. I don't know.
That's not a word.
But, some good catch and shoot lineups.
I just think you can gimmick your way to like 45 wins.
Okay, but not... I really don't touch 41.
I want to touch on a point that you made, and then two, I want to ask you a question about that. So with the point with Jordan Ott, obviously famously came from the Cavs as an assistant. I think one of the biggest issues with the Suns last season offensively that they did have was they were pretty low pace, right? I want to say off the top of my head they were 29th.
Yeah.
In the league in pace.
Nerd.
So the you're funny. So the Cavs last year were 10th in pace. And I think it's really fascinating to outline how in the media day interview, it was a lot of him saying, like, yeah, we want to play with a bunch of guys in space and run a pretty high-paced offense. Because when you look at what they have on the team, it's kind of built to do that. So the question I want to ask us on the gimmick is, do you think the gimmick is just running a ton of pace and shooting a bunch of threes?
Yeah, and then playing good defense.
See, but the thing with the defense part is I think you can manufacture a decent first shot defense, but do you believe in their team abilities or their team ability to grab a defensive rebound?
I agree. Mark Williams is going to get hurt.
Yeah, Mark Williams is going to get hurt. Kaman's rebounding is very much a work in progress.
Suspicious.
Dylan Brooks, one of the worst rebounding wings in the league. And Jalen Green's a good rebounding guard.
They might play at the four or something like this year.
But I do agree with that. The rebounding is a real concern, which is why I don't think they're going to be good. Right?
Like you said 45.
Said 45.
I think 45 is like the ninth.
Bro, okay, no.
Best.
One. I was gonna say we've spent.
I mean, that's
a lot.
Not incorrect, but that's still a good team though.
No. 45 wins is probably gonna be the ninth seed. But my pushback to that though is we've talked about how good the Western Conference is gonna be. A team that, and I know you might feel a different way about it, but we're gonna talk about it. Are they next?
I think they're
not next, but they're coming up. The Spurs are going to be good this year. I'm sorry, I don't think they're going to be. Playoff good, but they're going to be better than the Suns. I guarantee.
I have them like the same range.
I think. No,
I guarantee. The West is really good, and there's teams that are at the bottom. They're going to be better.
That's what I'm saying. Can I ask? And this is my pushback on like even y'all saying 45 wins.
They're not going to be 45.
My question is with how good the Thunder project to be, with how good Denver projects to be.
A ton of wins.
That's what I'm saying. How good I still think the Rockets will be in the regular season. Gang, it's either going to be, are we going to see 358 plus win teams? Or what's going to happen at the bottom of the world?
Yeah, that was the point I was making. So you just said the pod.
There's only so many wins to go around. I think this is the range in the West where I don't think it'll be like last year where like the 8 seed has 48 wins. I think the East, I think, is better. Genuine. I know some teams got hurt, but I think the middle of the pack East got a tad bit better than in recent years.
Maybe, but the top end fell off.
I was going to say, the bottom of the West is still, I mean, we're talking about the Mavericks might be the ninth seed.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why I think you're going to get to
which
a lot of teams.
I know the Suns are going to be the playoffs, because if the Mavericks are going to be in that range, the Suns are not going
to
be anywhere close.
I agree with you there, but I think this range of teams we're going to get to, I think this is when you start looking at like, their season goal is, do we touch 500? Not no 45 wins. Not no 47.
Yeah, because these teams are beating up on each other.
Put me down on record. I don't think they...
Because I think you're right.
The Suns win 39 games.
That's the big point with the record stuff. When we talk about like these top teams, they're just separated off from everyone else. Yeah. Like the top three seeds, especially in seasons where you see teams like it's 261 teams, a 55-win team, right? Those teams with their record, they don't matter for the bottom teams. The reason why these bottom teams are all like bottom playoff teams, they're like all pushing like, you know, 45, 44, it's because they're all beating up on each other. So if you think all of these teams are going to be within like the same range of games from like 6 down to like 12, then I mean, just statistically speaking, especially if you think OKC is going to win like 70 games and like the Rockets and the Nuggets are going to be pushing like 60. Somebody's got to win 35 games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Everybody can't win.
It won't be the Suns. Yeah. But I would say this. I want to give them some props because I was hating on them. I do think that if you're not going to blow it up, which I think is stupid, I think they should have blew it up. But okay, you don't want to blow it up. Or at least blow it up in the sense of trading Devin Booker. I think the approach they took was right.
Yeah, they're taking a step in the right direction.
They're choosing for culture, identity, and fit over chasing star names. And I think if you're not going to blow it up, that's what you're supposed to do. I think the Dylan Brooks acquisition, I think his name kind of carries like a joke because it's Dylan. He stares people down.
He's so good.
He's going to change their lives. Yeah. And I think people, like, as a Rockets fan who was skeptical about signing him, take my testimony. He's going to change your life.
So. Yeah, at the very least, he'll be a better product.
It's going to be a better product.
He's the most bizarre floor raiser, I think, in NBA history, because it's not like his skill set type of thing.
Yeah.
But I think for this type of team, for a bunch of young guys kind of hobbled together, a new coach, he's such a good culture setter.
Yeah. It's like, even for us,
like, respect to Dylan, we had to upgrade to become contenders, right?
We're going
to
miss him.
Yeah, but like, I haven't missed the guy. Like, if we had the option to keep him and get KD,
I definitely would have, right?
And
I'm mad we didn't get to keep him.
Yeah, right.
Even some of his like micro skills, like aside from the culture setting stuff, like he's a legit 40% shooter now.
Yep. He is. Yeah, he's a really good 3-point shooter.
This isn't like the Memphis joke of Dylan Brooks. I mean, he's 40 from three. One of the better post-up scorers in basketball, which is quiet as kept. If you've ever seen a Rockets game, the Canadian Kobe jokes were very real.
Also, not even just catch and shoot. Like, he'll take a pull-up.
Yeah.
Like,
he's going to take a closeout.
He was the best pull-up three-point shooter in the Rockets last year. I want to say it was 33.8%, which isn't world-beating, but...
Which is good.
For a role player, it's really good, though. Yeah,
for a role player, really good on pull-ups.
So, what do y'all have on range? What do y'all have on range?
You go first.
No, I'll be a little bit more optimistic. I'll say 9 to 12.
I would say 9 to 12.
9 to 12 for me too.
I'll say 8 to 10.
And I think 9 is very optimistic, to be fair. But
I think they're a plan.
We can move.
Yeah.
Next team, another team that was very, very busy. This summer. The West was just a busy conference. Yeah. I mean, it usually is. The Portland Trailblazers last season finished 36-46. Notable additions for them, drafted Yang Hansen with the 18th overall pick. Really, really intriguing Chinese prospect from the CBA. Won CBA Defense Player of the Year. Has been linked to guys like Alperen Şengün, guys like Nikola Jokic for his passing at that size. Looked really, really good in summer league when I got to go out there and watch him. Still has some areas of his game to work on, but looks like he could be a really intriguing player. Traded for Jrue Holiday, which we'll get to how that affects another player on their team, and brought back Damian Lillard. Obviously, he won't play this year with the Achilles injury.
They gave him a 3-year deal, too.
Gave him a 3-year contract. He's going to retire from the Trailblazers, which I get in this ring culture era we have created. It's going to seem kind of iffy that Damian Lillard doesn't have a ring and how that questions his legacy. If you saw that reception he got.
He's had a great career.
The legacy he's built in Portland, I'm not going to say it's as good as a ring, but there's not that many guys who can say they've had.
I think getting hurt in an injury like an Achilles and then blood clots, right? Like having that rapid succession of injuries, kind of puts things in perspective for you a little bit. Yeah. Obviously, I'm not Dame Lillard, I'm not a professional athlete, but I think he took a really long look around the league and was like, "I'm leaving the Bucks, obviously, because the Bucks are not very good." I think. And do I want to spend the next couple of years after I spend a year rehabbing, trying to bounce around for a home, trying to compete for a title? Or do I want to just go back to my franchise, have my last two properly good, productive playing years where I like it, in the town that I know, where my family is, where my fan base is, and just like retired right off in the sunset? And I think like from a human element, a non-ring culture NBA player element, that makes way too much
sense. I respect
it. I can't blame
no qualms.
I mean, for a lot of like Trailblazers fans, especially ones that are like relatively, not even just relatively young, anyone born literally after like 1980, this is arguably the best player they've ever seen wear their jersey.
Not even arguably.
And, you know, it's a lot of like young Trailblazers fans out there that, you know, this is like Christmas to them, getting their goat back, essentially. That's like a huge deal. So I think I like it on all sides. I think he can mentor multiple guys there. He means a lot to that city, obviously. He means a lot to that organization.
Who's he mentoring?
We'll get into that.
So, no, let's get to that now.
Afraid of goals.
I mean, they lost DeAndre Ayton, and then
I should have put Simons as an addition.
Yeah, I said it. Getting rid of Anthony Simons.
Before we crap on some of their young core, before some of us crap on some of their young core. I do think the departure of Ayton is huge because it's going to lead to more minutes for Donovan Clingan.
Kling Kong, man.
Who I think
it's really good.
We had a whole segment on this. I think when we were doing our top 15 or 25 list. Clingan is
I think this table really is very high on Clingan.
Like, I think if they have a top 10 defense this year, it's because Clingan played 30 minutes again.
Yep.
Can I get off that they could be better than the Suns?
I think they might be better than the Suns, bro.
I'm glad you said that because I wanted to circle back to the point us had made about gimmicking your way into wins. I think this is a team that is actually equipped
their defense is gonna
to
be
gimmic their way. Yeah, because so quick, because I did do a quick stat pull on this nerd numbers. So first 34 games, you're so funny. First 34 games of the season last year, they were 28th in defensive rating. The last 48 games, they were 7th. So this isn't just like a minuscule sample size. We're talking about pretty much what, 60% of the season?
Yep.
And I mean, when you look at it, all of that pretty much happened was they played Clingan a bit more. Rob Will came back. They played Ayton a bit less. They started playing Simons less.
Tumani Kamara is
And then they played Tumani Kamara more.
So good.
And I mean, they were a 7th-ranked defense, so it's not crazy for them to come back.
And Drew Holiday, you know, feel how you want to feel about him is not, maybe good as defender. A guard. He's still a good defender.
Yeah, especially in a team context, he's a good defender.
Yeah.
They could be a really good
defense. And I mean, more Drew Holiday means less Scoot Henderson.
I was gonna say,
let's pivot to that.
Before you hate on him, I think me and Zay, look at his numbers without Anthony Simons. I'm not gonna say that I still believe he's the Scoot Henderson coming out of the G League Ignite. I still believe that he has not been given the opportunity yet to be that version of himself. And I think that, fingers crossed.
I mean, you can't saw that, but they were starting Anthony Simons.
I think at some
point. Man, dude, I'm not going to hear you tell me that Anthony Simons was better than
No. I'm not saying he's better, but I think at some point, if year after year, your organization makes moves to benefit other players on your team and not the guy they drafted 3rd overall, I'm going to look at you and say,
oh, no, this is the year he got to show something.
I almost feel like that. That's on the organization. Because if you have, like, the moment, and I don't want to go too long, but the moment they traded Dame to the Bucks, I think it was abundantly clear that the guy they drafted number 3 overall in 2023, a guy who, right, maybe was drafted a bit over where he was actually as a prospect, but that was, he was viewed as that high of a prospect in 2023. The key should have been handed to Scoot Henderson in, like, a golden gift wrap box, like the second traded Dame. Everything should have been about Scoot Henderson. And
I'll let you, before I dunk on him, I'll let you.
No, I'm done. That's all.
I already gave my school piece last episode.
Poor, below average, right, below average, like average, below average, average. Those are his on-ball reps with the Portland Trailblazers.
For those of you who don't know,
his whole career this season, last season.
I'm reading his synergy.
Yeah.
Is there any way to filter for without Anthony Simons?
No, because I
know for a fact his stats.
Can I tell you what doesn't have anything to do with Anthony Simons?
Yeah, go ahead.
Him being poor in transition, that has nothing to do with it. He's an overrated athlete, an overrated processor, a bad shooter, a bad finisher at the basket, a bad defender, a decent passer at best, whose entire scoring process is more akin to De'Aaron Fox than it ever was to a guy like Russell Westbrook. He's a snake.
He's a snake with zero touch,
and if interior passing is the one calling card I have to give for my point guard of the future, Jesus Christ, trade him now and save your franchise. There is a reason why year after year after year, trade for guards or sign guards or start guards
that
in front of
him.
Because at some point, you know what was incompetent? Drafting him 3rd. Y'all can't say this is me doing this. Y'all were all there in those spaces. I've been saying this about him since
you have, but I ain't gonna lie.
And I will stand on this.
So they should have got
Amen Thompson. Okay, I mean, it was so
fair.
Easy.
That's fair.
And if Amen Thompson was gonna take a star, anybody else. He wasn't that good. He's shown he isn't that good. What piece of evidence do you have? And if the evidence is, well, when Anthony Simons was off the court, Jesus Christ, chalk him. He sucks. Serious question. When he comes back, because guess what? He's already hurt again. When he comes back from injury, is he going to start over Drew Holiday?
Probably not. But I think that's a problem, though. I'm going to be
I think that's an issue.
Is he starting for Drew Holiday because he's better? Because he's not better than him, or because this organization is dumb?
Don't answer that.
Who will win more games this year, Drew Holiday or Scoot Henderson?
Maybe to start Drew, but my thing is
he is going.
Okay, no, no. Hear me out.
It's contract talk.
He has not been in a situation for himself.
Come on now, man.
Chauncey Billups, may not have been the biggest fan of Scoot Henderson. I don't care what you say. Starting Anthony Simons over him is a mistake. And the last thing I was going to say is, even if Drew Holiday is better at this point in time in his career, which I don't think it's crazy to say that he's not, but okay, whatever, maybe he is. I think that the Portland Trailblazers, you're not, like, you shouldn't, the goal should not be to push for the play-in playoffs. The goal should be, we have a bunch of young guys in this roster who are pretty promising.
Let's get the best version.
Can I ask a question? And this is a genuine
question. And that's Scoot Henderson.
This is a genuine question I asked. And this isn't just for Scoot Henderson. This goes for all prospects. Why is it always only on the organization to develop a player? Why is it always only on the organization to put this guy in the right position?
I mean, but
why is it always only the organization?
It's not like Blazers.
I feel like this one is more so like when he said sneaking a pick and roll with no touch, I did kind of give the
okay. But my problem with that is it's not like the Blazers have been this great successful team. Like, it's not like they're bringing things back to the Rockets.
They've developed other players.
It's not Reed coming off the bench for a contender. They're a bottom feeder team that's not prioritizing highest tiered prospects.
I'm gonna be honest. I think they have prioritized their highest tier prospect.
But they didn't.
Shaden Sharpe's a higher tier prospect at this point. Donovan Clingett's a higher tier prospect.
I mean, I'm fine with keeping it a spade.
Tumani Kamara is more important than
him. No, shut up, bro.
I mean, but
you can't get that off when they did not even prioritize him in year one. You can say he's a cooked prospect now. In year one,
coming out of the G League night,
he should have been the franchise. He should have had the keys. He should have been spawning into 32 minutes a night. He should have had all of that from day one.
This is what I think happened, genuinely. I think when he went into training camp, that coaching staff looked at each other and said, what the hell is
okay, but what do we have to lose in giving him the keys?
My job.
Man,
he's going to lose that anyway. I'm not going to lie. Let's
get to ranges, bro.
We're going to argue all day.
I think 8 to 10.
If Scoot Henderson plays 15,
no, that's wrong.
I actually like this team. I'd go 9 to 11. I think about their range.
I'll piggyback 9 to 11. I think 9 to 12.
I'll say 8 to 12. I think this defense is good enough. This can't be a playoff
team.
Next team. You know, Isaiah, you should introduce this team. They like you a lot.
Yeah, obviously, shout out to the Spurs fans out there, man. San Antonio Spurs, last year they went 34-48. Notable additions. They drafted Dillard Harper, second overall.
Good pick.
They drafted Carter Bryant, 14th overall.
Good pick.
They re-signed De'Aaron Fox. They signed Lou Cornett and Kelly Olynyk.
Great contract.
And
great deal.
For their departures, they lost Chris Paul, Blake Wesley,
Malachi
Brown.
Yay.
I'm not saying that.
You lucky you might have did.
I was. It was funny. Every Rockets game I went to against the Spurs, he was in for the last 5 minutes in garbage time, and he was hooping. Sandro was hooping.
He was sniping.
And shout out to Jonathan, the RPA guy. He pronounced it right every single time. Shout out to the GOAT, man.
Yeah, bro. This is a team that I think is gonna take a jump.
De'Aaron Fox is out for how long?
He's out for the first week. Only the first week.
Okay.
His return date they're eyeing is November 1st.
Okay.
Like the first week and change. Another injury they mentioned. Who was it? Someone else was out. Am I tripping? Dillon Harper.
Oh yeah, because he had the summer league injury.
So Dillon Harper got hurt in summer league.
They're playing slow with him.
They're just gonna monitor him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, monitor now after training camp. It might be like he might come off the bench type deal.
I mean, he was always
probably already gonna do that.
Well, I mean,
according to them,
I will say actually on the flip side that they did their training camp started training camp yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And obviously training camp starting lineups are different. Everyone tries looking so hard at what color penny a guy has on, is it black or the gray one?
Yeah.
Their starting lineup for training camp, which obviously doesn't really matter, didn't include Stephon Castle or De'Aaron Fox, or not De'Aaron Fox, or Dillon Harper, which
I figured it may not.
Was intriguing that it was neither one of those guys. I believe the lineup they ran was like Harrison Barnes, Sohan, Vassell, somebody else, and Wimby.
Vassell's going
to
Fox. Ooh, Vassell.
Yeah, which I'm assuming Fox will end up being in that spot.
I think Fox, Wimby, are like... If they don't, if those two don't start,
no, Vassell has to. He's a shooter. Vassell has to.
I'll say he's going to start, but I'll say to kind of
give my. I might also be locked in.
Yeah. I don't really like that, but
I mean, Barnes maybe too.
I don't like that either.
That's the whole starting.
That's the whole starting five.
I was just going to say, man, Dylan Harper, I thought it was a really good pick. Come off their bench and develop into hopefully their point guard of the future with De'Aaron Fox hopefully departing sometime soon. I love the Carter Bryant pick. He looked amazing in summer league. He's going to make a couple
all defensive teams. He looked amazing on
his defense.
Yes, defense. Yes, defensively, of course. Defensively, of course. He's going to make a couple all defensive teams. And then you have Victor Wembanyama, who is going to be the best defender arguably ever going into year three. So knock on wood, this guy stays healthy this year. He's, I think,
top five NBA player.
Yeah, I think he's a top five NBA player in the league. I think that he's going to be so good, and they're going to have such a good defense around him. This is a team that I think is going to sneak. Like, could be, I'll go into my range. They could be anywhere from like six to, I think they could sneak it, bro. Because I think Wemby's going to be good. I think Wemby's going to be that good for them this year. They could sneak anywhere from like six to, I'll say nine.
My worry isn't Wemby.
You don't think they missed a play-in at all?
I think they are 100% a play-in team.
I think they're a play-in team for sure.
They're I mean, bro, if knock on wood.
100%?
If Wemby stays healthy, I think they're going to be that good.
I'm not going to lie. I won't give a range. I think this is like the ninth seed. I think they're going to be around that mid-40 range. I think the only thing is Wemby is going to be Wemby. I think he's going to be phenomenal. If he's healthy, that's going to be like a really good defender, obviously. My concerns with them is like the backcourt shooting. And the rebounding.
Right, well, you could just say your concern is the rest of the team.
But I was but to be fair, I feel like a lot of that matters more come playoff time in the regular season.
It matters in the regular season too.
So I also, like, I'll be honest,
like a duo of De'Aaron Fox and Wemby in the regular season. I think can get you the ninth seed. That's a play team.
I think they're gonna be like, I think
this could be a playoff team. I promise it could be
mid-40s team. That's gonna be the nice.
I mean, my thing one
in 40s.
Yeah. So
how do you feel about the Suns? How do you feel about the Spurs?
My first, I think
we're just like at best 500 teams still. But really? I think the Spurs.
Man, I'm not gonna lie, dude.
Games.
Damn.
So for one, right? I think especially now in this like era of the league, I think it is harder to just individually floor raise a team. And as good as Wemby projects out to be, and as well of a defensive floor raiser as he's going to be, and as crazy as net rate numbers are going to be, which I'll just very quickly read off. So last year, right, when he was off, they were a negative 9.6. This year, when he was on, they were a positive 3, or last year, a positive 3.7, right? So I think when Wemby's on, like, they're going to look like a playoff team. I think a problem there is I don't think their starting lineup is that good, even with Wemby on. I think he's going to carry, obviously, their net rating. But it's not going to be like a Denver type of deal or anywhere close where it's like, this is like statistically one of the best starting lineups in the league. Like, I think they're probably an average starting lineup with Wemby in. And then, I mean, when he comes off the court, they're putting up worse than a league level of net rating. And that's not only just like a missed game stat. I mean, he's not playing 36 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Talking about a guy who's going to play like, what, 34?
34 is high.
I'm being like real liberal with that because it's probably gonna be like 32.
Yeah, y'all remember what they did with Giannis like 3 years ago where he was like at 30, and he was like still putting up an MVP caliber stats, but he was like literally at 30, sometimes 32 minutes.
Yeah, like they're not winning 43 games if he's playing 30 minutes. They just not. That's too many minutes in the game where he's not playing.
That bad.
I think that's kind of where
I'll tell you why he is.
Please go ahead.
Poor.
No, it's not even. It's not even just the fact. Well, it is that. but the two most important players on their team next year are Wemby, and it is going to be De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
The biggest issue I had the moment they traded for him, the moment the idea even floated in the air of them potentially trading for De'Aaron Fox was that partnership to me makes zero sense for De'Aaron Fox's most used play type, which is a pick and roll. The way De'Aaron Fox operates as a pick and roll point guard does not fit whatsoever with how Victor Wembanyama operates as a pick and roller. Wemby's not a true screener, right? He's gotten better as a screener since he entered the league, since his time overseas with Mets 92. You can go back to his FIBA U17 tape if you want. He's improved as a screener. He's still a guy that likes, he sets what I like to call Christian Wood screens. And we got to talk to Lyon Hollins about this in the space of why some slender guys prefer to slip screens more. You don't want that tax on your body. And for Victor Wembanyama,
yeah, you definitely know.
Your franchise, I don't want him taking 70-some screens 20 across a three-game stretch. You just don't want him doing that. Issue is with De'Aaron Fox, the nature, as much as we call him Swipe of the Fox and he's the fastest he's player not in the that league, guy no more. He doesn't do use that.
Like
that.
He's miscast as like John Morant light, and that's not who he is.
He presents or he operates out of pick and rolls by a lot of snaking. He's a prober, which works at times, but that requires a Domantas Sabonis. That requires a Jonas Valanciunas. That requires a big body screener that is going to create space for you. Wimby, by sheer size alone, is going to create space. Difference between him and a Sabonis, him and a Valanciunas, him and any other real screen-setting center, he's not going to hold that space for you. Because Wimby's expectation off the screen is, I'm not here to get you open. I'm getting the goddamn ball. And that's what Chris Paul figured out very early. I could throw this hoe to the box, to the rim, to the moon. The 7'5 guy is going to go get up and grab it. That's just the nature of how his pick and roll worked. I think that partnership, it's just not going to look good numbers-wise. When you include passes, De'Aaron Fox had 186 possessions on PNRs last year with the Spurs. With Wimby, it was 101, below average. In the games they played last year, it's early. They weren't developing chemistry. I'll give them a bit of grace for that. I just still think the way that both of them operate in their what's most likely going to be their most used play type under a rookie head coach at that, which is something nobody's bringing up. Mitch Johnson is their head coach.
He's a rookie. Like their coach.
He wasn't great last year. I'm going to keep it at which he got thrown into the fire. It's hard to mess up Wimby, man. Yeah, he got thrown into the fire. So I'm going
to trying to do it. Race, ain't going
to lie. I don't believe in this team as much as other people do. The backcourt shooting sucks. I think their overall chemistry in terms of their play types is going to really, really stink. So I don't know. Like okay. 41 wins. 41?
So what's that, like 10 seed?
9-10.
Okay, so you said 9-10. I said 9.
I got 41 wins.
I said six. I am that high on Wimby. Yeah, okay, I think.
What do you think?
I think that so we're like 6 to like we'll say 10.
I'm gonna say 9-12.
9-12. Okay.
They're not missing the plan. I guarantee you.
Do we want to talk about? I guess this is my hot take. Worst trade in NBA history on draft.
Oh yeah. So we can breach these last two.
Yeah. Last one. Also, we skip the last. but New Orleans Pelicans.
The Jazz suck. What do we do?
Yeah.
Trey Laurie Markkanen.
New Orleans Pelicans 21-61. They re-signed Herb Jones. Good move. We have to talk about it. On draft night, they made, I think, one of the most mind-boggling decisions.
No, it's easily the worst trade I've ever seen in my life.
So I'm just gonna read it up there and then we can talk about it. They traded to the Hawks, Asa Newell. Who they drafted with pick 23 of that year, and the 2026 first round pick, which is the most favorable of their own, and the Milwaukee Bucks, right?
Completely
and it's unprotected.
Yes, completely unprotected. Right. So, in English, right? If the Pelicans suck, the Atlanta Hawks can get that pick. If the Bucks are terrible, Atlanta Hawks will get that pick.
Just real quick, the Bucks could suck. They are
if Giannis falls off.
They are a Giannis injury from being the worst team in the East,
and they did that for Derek Queen. Who they got at pick 13, so they moved up 10 picks in the draft for this.
It's just bad value offer. They move up 10 spots.
What if Derek Queen becomes Jokic?
That's
still
better,
a bad value. Man.
What if he becomes Jokic?
It's just, I just think, just in terms of operating, just in terms of operating like a franchise, historically, if you're on the other end of the phone of Joe Dumars, you come away looking pretty good.
Yeah.
And
you're going to turn me wrong?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Like,
Send it through.
I really like that Derek Queen guy. So, I mean, like, we might not make the playoffs next. You want that 26 pick? I don't think we're going to use it. Like, we're getting two rookies now. So, why do you need a third one?
Who cares?
I'll end it here. But I think if we're not going to get into it here, go look up Joe Dumars' transaction history through NBA history.
Oh, boy. It is insane.
Real quick, the only saving grace for this trade. Was, you know what? Maybe they're just really high on themselves this year. Giannis, Zion came in skinny. Man. They're like, we're going to be really good.
I'm not fooled.
The fact that their head coach and owner came into media day and said, we're not even sure if we're going to be a playoff team, makes this trade an absolute.
They said what?
Yeah, yes. You didn't see what Joe Dumars said? Dumars, the guy who made the trade.
Joe Dumars.
Said, he said, and I quote, I'm not going to put the pressure on this team to make the playoffs despite not having our own first round pick.
That's what made me want to bring this up.
It's a terrible trade.
Because, like, what are you doing?
I mean, you know.
That can't be a real
quote. No,
it's a real quote.
Go back. I didn't say the exact quote, but that was the
gist of what he said. Yeah. Yes, that is a real quote. Okay. So, you know, maybe skinny Zion is
Bro,
I think 30.
There has to be like a worst executive in the league award.
If there was, he would be a multi-time winner.
Genuinely, when Darren Peterson is an Atlanta Hawk next year,
oh man,
Jesus, dude,
man.
We'll get into that next episode. But there's a very real world where that Hawks team is like one of the best teams in the league record-wise.
And top five pick,
and they just walk into a
I'll say, quick run to the Jazz. Oh, actually, let's get
13-15.
Yeah, 13-15.
14-15. Yeah,
let's keep it. This team's going.
They're not even.
You know what? I'll say 12-15 because maybe Zion's skinny now.
Yeah, so. Who cares? And the Jazz 17-65 last season. They're gonna be bad. They're probably gonna be the worst.
Shout out to suck.
You know what's gonna be fun? I will say the Jazz do stink. They have an intriguing collection of young talent. I mean,
they do.
I'm intrigued.
I'll say watch.
Isaiah
Bailey,
Collier,
that's gonna be cool.
Bryce Sensabaugh, Keontae George, exciting. And the crown jewel of all of it right now. Darius Ace Bailey, who fired his agent, which means he has better decision-making skills than any of us thought he did. So shout out to him for that.
Jazz suck. We don't have to talk about this.
Trade Lauri Markkanen.
Range is 15-15.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that's what they want to do. You know, there's a guy who has been paid a lot of money for the last couple of years to spend his time in Utah and get used to playing in the Utah weather, and that is A.J. DeBosta, who's going to be at BYU this year. I'm telling y'all right now, Adam Silver, again, I like my life. Don't bring the black trucks outside. When the Utah Jazz, they're not going to get one or three. That's going to be too obvious. They're going to get pick two. They're going to get pick two and say A.J. at pick two.
This has a potential to age so well, bro.
Nobody else wanted to.
Jazz suck.
I said trade. Trade Lauri. Please trade Lauri.
Nothing to say about
this. Trade Lauri.
That will be.
Lauri sucks too.
Well, a hell of a Eurobasket, though.
Eurobasket. I don't know, man.
That'll be today's episode of the Right Read Podcast. Make sure you guys like, comment, share, subscribe. Everybody's links will be down in the description below. And catch y'all next time.